Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Joe at RTE.ie. Now back to the Leaving Cert debacle and the people who have not been heard, and that's students. The vested interests have all circled the wagons and said there won't be enough space, and heads of university, the head of the CAO, sometimes they're the same person, saying that this is going to be really difficult. But let's hear from students and what they're going through, and maybe somebody in the world of third level with their incredible brains could come up with an idea of opening labs 24 hours, 7 days a week, maybe opening them all year round, and coming up with ideas to help students. We've been told this is the problem now, the lack of space, even though in central Dublin at the minute there's loads of brand new office blocks which are going for a song, because Google just pulled out of, 500 yards in Trinity. They pulled out of a 2,000 seat, or so to speak, 2,000 offices in one building, the sorting office it's called. But anyway, let's see if people got ideas. Maybe they'll push to get more ideas after they hear the upset of the people who are directly affected, but don't have much of a voice in one sense. Conor Brennan. Conor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Tell us your story, Conor.
So my story is, Joe, that there's a certain amount we know that have been downgraded in this process. But however, there's a certain amount of students that have been upgraded.
Okay.
Now, my thing is about the fairness of the examination. I know an exam didn't take place, but if you look at it, if someone was accidentally upgraded, and then someone that wasn't accidentally upgraded, say the person that got accidentally upgraded got 466, and someone that wasn't upgraded accidentally at all got 456, should that person get that course?
The answer so far as I've heard is, what you have you hold. If you've been offered a course in third level, and if it emerges, apparently there's very few downgrades, apparently, or very few upgrades. If it emerges that you were upgraded, you still hold on to that course. Now, what was your situation? Did you get your first choice?
No, I didn't get my first choice. Now I got my second choice.
And did your grades that you were given by the computer, so to speak, did the grades that you were eventually given by the Department of Education computer, which they brought in from America, did those grades differ from what your teachers gave you?
No, only one of them differed.
Okay. But was that enough to knock you out?
Quite possibly, Joe. I think it might have been. But behind my point is, if someone who has benefited from this mistake in the algorithm, why should everyone not benefit?
Okay, when you heard what the university is saying, where are we going to get the extra space?
I know, Joe, I don't buy that story whatsoever.
The argument put forward by, it was put forward most recently by Professor Paul O'Doherty, a very good reputation. He's in NUIG. He's also, I think, Deputy President of NUG, as well as being chairman of the CEO, which I don't know, sometimes I don't know which hat he's wearing. But anyway, that's the world we live in. He does both jobs brilliantly, I'm sure. But he's saying, well, medicine and science and hospital placements. Now, he said you can't build a hospital quickly enough, but then there's only two words I'd give to that. City West is the answer I give to that. Lab space. He's saying there is going to be a problem.
Joe, like, if you look at Michael O'Leary, who owns Ryanair, one of the most successful things about Ryanair is asset utilisation. He uses his aircraft as much as he can. Mm-hmm. Are our labs being used up until 9 o'clock at night? I don't know. People in our supermarkets stack shelves till 6 in the morning. Why can't they do labs till 6 in the morning? People in our... You brought about medicine. Can people that do medicine... The hospitals don't close overnight. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can bring people in overnight.
And we're told there's a shortage. And I know it's, you're not bringing them in as medics. You're bringing them in as trainees or whatever. But you're right, yeah. I'd love to know how often labs do. Are they 9 to 5 Monday to Friday? 30 weeks of the year, or are they 24/7, 364? We'll give them Christmas. You know what I mean? People, I take your point. People do say, hang on, I will, let's utilise. Back to the whole story about the MRI machines in the public hospitals were only being used. And so now I know it's changed, a lot of pressure and a lot of persuasion, but the MRI, these incredible machines, are only being used between 9 and 5, Monday to Friday. And then someone said, hang on a minute, why aren't we using them 24/7?
Yes, and Joe, what it seems to me is colleges have this sort of exclusivity. So by allowing extra students in, you might bring down the points for that college and kind of bring down the exclusivity of that particular college as well.
And you say dilute the value of the degree in other people's eyes?
Like, I wouldn't say dilute the value of the degree. You'd have more people coming out with a degree, which would bring down like prices in Ireland. Look, for example, take veterinary. There's more people studying veterinary in Poland than there is in Ireland.
More Irish people studying veterinary. Yes, an incredible point.
Like, we have doctors coming in. I've no problem with people coming into the country to work. But how come we're sending people outside of our country to learn medicine to then emigrate off to Australia? Why aren't we training perfectly good people who have received 600 points in their Leaving Cert who would make perfectly good doctors here?
Okay, stay there, Conor, please. Gavin Dowling. Gavin, good afternoon.
Hello.
What are you studying, Gavin?
I'm doing biomedical science in UCD now.
And what course?
Second year.
And what course did you want to do?
I wanted to do medicine.
And why do you feel you were badly done by in this the way this debacle has unfolded?
Well, see, I sat my Leaving Cert in 2019.
Okay.
And I got 566 points.
Wow.
Which I worked very hard for,
well
like
done.
In fifth and in sixth year. I sat the HFAT. Unfortunately, it didn't go my way in that year. So I said I'd do biomedical science and resit the HFAT. So I retaught the HFAT then, last year, and had enough points to do. So I was 2 points above medicine in Galway, but due to the points inflation, went up 4.4%. I missed out on my base.
By how many points, Gavin? Not that it matters.
I have the points. So it went up 2 points. Galway did. So I actually had the points for Galway. But see, with medicine, it's not. So basically, it's your combined score of the HFAT and the Leaving Cert.
Yeah.
And because we were all on the same amount of points, normally for any other course, it's based on random selection. But for medicine, I'm not sure why, it's based on Leaving Cert points, not combined. Like, so if everyone's on the same combined Leaving Cert and HFAT scores, they then disregard the HFAT and just go off Leaving Cert points.
And that's where you were bunched.
So it's not a fair playing field because due to their grades going up,
which they did,
4.4%.
Overall,
It's completely unfair
and
because I'm stuck on 5, 6, 8.
But some of the higher grades went up. Didn't Brian Mooney do an analysis saying it was some of the higher grades went up? The grade inflation was closer to 17%. I know it was 4% overall. But when you looked at... And how many points... You didn't get your... And now that because Aaron yesterday, Aaron and Conor Daly, Aaron came on. You would have seen him on the news last night, if people watch the news or whatever and elsewhere. But he was saying that he's going to do, even though the two of them looked like they were on the exact same level. Both of them got 10 A's in their junior cert. Both of them, the school gave them the exact same calculated grades, exact same. And one was downgraded, and the other one wasn't. Conor got medicine. Aaron got biomed. Now, sorry, he didn't get medicine, so he's going to do biomed in the hope of going through that avenue. Does that stand for you, Gavin? You're doing biomed in UCD.
I'm not too sure because so basically by me doing biomed this year, I would be able to skip pre-med going into like so I did last year. I would have been able to skip pre-med this year, so that's why I chose it.
In the hope that you're going to get in this year.
In the hope that I
and
would...
That you, and, that you would like, I mean,
And that I don't want to do Biomet. I've never wanted to do Biomet.
Okay. That says it all. And your point is, you were hoping to get in this year, and because you did knuckle down and do Biomet, you would hope to catch up with the year that started last year, effectively.
Well, yes, and because I've been working first year college, all to do.
And Gavin, are you worried now about next year, 2021?
Well, next year I think this year was my last chance because, if I reset the HVAT again next year, which would be my third time in the HVAT, and it's going to be people who did really well this year in the HVAT, the leaving cert, they're just going to reapply with those really high points again. Yeah. So my HVAT is going to have to be absolutely outrageous for me to have a chance of getting in. So it's going to be the same situation for you next year. I think it's just unfair the way people who sat the leaving cert this year, their grades went up. Why should my grades go up 4.4%? Why do they get inflated, and everyone else who sat the leaving cert in 2019 just completely gets disregarded and left behind? I think there was 20,000 people reapplied this year in the CEO, and there was 60,000 obviously sat the leaving cert. And at the start of it all, to the government were saying to make up for whatever the points inflation, they added 1,250 extra places, which that's a joke, because.
Well, they said overall, I think they're saying 5,000. I'd love to see where they 5,000, are. But I'm going back to seems to be the main spokesperson, Professor Paul O'Doherty from Galway, and he was on Drive Time with Sarah. He was on Prime Time and he was on the 1 o'clock. So I'm confused at times. Is he speaking for the CAO? Because I thought they were independent of colleges and our UCG. Well, let's presume he's talking UCG in the last interview I heard. And that is, he's saying medicine, for example, they need internships. We can't get in enough internships. They need hospitals. We can't build a hospital overnight. Even though we did in City West. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So I'm saying, are you cast down when you hear that? Of all the courses that we can add, that they've been asked to add places to because of the mess up, the one they're saying that we can't add places to are ones that have labs and internships in hospitals, and that's your one.
Well, actually, it's funny to say that because for a biomed, I had a lab yesterday in UCD, and it was ghost town. None of the labs were full at all. We've so many labs.
There's very little lab work in first year anyway.
Very little.
So they have a year to upgrade, to build more labs or get better use, if possible, out of the labs that they have.
They don't even need it. But I know for UCD from experience that they have the space already.
Are you sure?
The space, for now, during the coronavirus, everything like that, they had the space yesterday. All the labs were just empty.
Yeah, we'll have to get the staff.
Well, that's a different story, I'm not sure.
The lab technicians, who were brilliant, brilliant people in colleges, brilliant. They seldom get the credit they deserve. There have been a few of them on here wearing different hats about zoology and biology. They're absolutely brilliant. So, Gavin, what are you going to do?
Well, see, I don't really have any choice. I don't really have any options other than, resitting the HVAT again next year will probably reap no rewards. I've done all the work. I've done absolutely everything that I could possibly do to get medicine. I've done everything. I've done all the work.
Apart from yourself, Gavin, do you think there's any organisation in the country advocating on your behalf?
I've heard nothing. I feel like 2019 leaving cert students and previous have just been completely disregarded. We've sat the leaving cert. We've put in a lot of work to get the courses I want. I wanted to do medicine since I was 11 years old. Because of whatever the points inflation, trying to make everyone I'm not sure, but you're just it's not very fair. I've got friends who reapplied this year to the CEO. I don't know one of them who got near their first round offer, and they were loads of points ahead of it last year. They reapplied because they wanted to change course. Everyone who I know from who's reapplied has missed out.
And I'm conscious of all this costs money. To apply to the CAO costs money. To go to
the HVAT costs money.
Yeah, exactly. You've done it. I know. Gavin, stay well and stay on Biomed, will you? If you can, will you stay with it for the time being?
Definitely, I am
yeah,
going to stay with it.
Good man, good man. Yeah, stay there because, as I said earlier on, when I was arguing that everyone should get a third level place, that and the vested interest of saying, oh no, there won't be enough space, and what happens if you're disappointed at the end of the first year? I don't think a year in third level is ever wasted. A year of education is never wasted. But Gavin, stay safe and look after yourself, and thanks for sharing that. More people, more Leaving Cert students who've been badly done in by this mess up after the break. 5155, one more chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Jim Cairns. Jim, by the way, Brian Mooney has written that the grade inflation overall was 4.4%. And he's the expert, 4.4%. But in the higher grades, the grade, which is what Gavin was talking about, the higher grades, the grade inflation was 10%, which is a big, big difference. Jim Cairns. Jim,
good afternoon.
Joe, you come in support of your granddaughter. Why?
I am, Joe. First of all, Joe, thanks for having me on, and thanks to your team, Maeve and Angela. They've been very good and very, very considerate too. Okay. Joe, I've been listening for the last few weeks, and I sympathise with Gavin, who's just been on there. And I mean, every year, Joe, we read the papers about so many students dropped out of courses. Why don't they let these people on the course? They're paying money for that. Well, the universities need the money as well. You know, there's always a certain dropout. I'm sure they have to fit them in some way. Anyhow, Joe, back to my granddaughter, she set the alternative Leaving Cert. Now, she wasn't good. She's had a bad year this last year with a boyfriend and all that, and she's been missed a couple of days in school and so blah, 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 and all that business, her time has been taken up. However, she failed. She needed 120 points to get a pass, and she only got 105. Now, I thought, Joe, when all this thing came out, from April, May, I thought that nobody would fail. You know, or at the same time, nobody would get an excessive degree, marks. You know, really, I thought it would be within a certain bracket. But I really thought nobody would fail. And when my granddaughter told me, I couldn't believe it, because how can you fail somebody an exam that didn't sit? Now, I know people say, oh, well, she wouldn't have passed, but that's not the point. Mm. She may have just, in that last, say, 6 weeks or so, studied day and night, night and day, and passed, all we know. I just think it's unfair, Joe.
And Jim, did she
just give them the bare minimum pass? That's all. I was asking.
Did she do mock exams, Jim?
She walked out of her mock exam last February. I would say that.
Yeah, that's months ago. That's your point. That was February.
Yes.
For whatever reason, she left the exam.
Yes. Why did she walk out, Alice? She said, "Granddad, I couldn't understand. I didn't understand. I couldn't think of any answers." I said, you should have stayed there and tried anyway. Like,
okay, but she walked out on the knowledge that they weren't the real exams. The real exam was 4 months hence, Leaving Cert, which never happened.
She done reasonably well in her junior certificate 3 years ago. And she got merit in English, and she got a B in maths, she got a D in art and craft, and she's good at woodwork, she got a C in woodwork.
God, you've great interest. Fair play to you, Jim.
I feel sorry for her, not just for her, for all those other kids. They're just thrown on the scrap heap. Nobody cares about them, I can see.
And what course was she hoping to do?
Oh, she's doing a course she wants to do, that hairdressing and beauty care.
Oh, okay.
That's all she ever wanted to do.
Okay.
And we even told the school that.
You're saying they told her you failed your Leaving Cert?
Yes, well, they didn't tell her. She got the results. From the school.
And they had her down, which is the wrong word we shouldn't be using. But they had her down as someone who had, if she had done the Leaving Cert, the predictive grades, that she would have failed the Leaving Cert, insofar as we know what that means.
That's what they're saying, yes. Joe, I don't think that's fair. I mean, how can you say, sorry, not sitting the exam and you failed? I just don't think that's not right in my mind.
How can you fail an exam?
I think, really,
Your point is, how can you fail an exam you didn't sit?
Yes, exactly. I mean, you couldn't make it up, really. That's what I think. If all these people ringing in, my Johnny should have got B's, C's, my Mary should have passed this. I understand that too, but these kids.
But there was some, we forget that, there was some children who were effectively told with the predictive grades, by the way, you failed your Leaving Cert.
Yes.
That's your point.
Yes.
Okay, stay with us, Jim. Anne-Marie,
Hi, Joe.
Your daughter, Anne-Marie, joe@rt.ie. Go ahead, Anne-Marie.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon, good Joe. How are you?
Good.
Yes, Sophie is my daughter, and she did her leaving cert this particular grade, and she actually got an offer in round one on September 11th for general nursing up in Dundalk. And, of course, she was absolutely delighted, and she replied to say that she accepted the course.
Okay.
So then she got correspondence from Dundalk to say that she they were delighted that she accepted on their programme and extend a warm welcome to her. And so we paid the fees, which was €3,125, and we got a receipt confirming that she was registered for the Bachelor of Science Honours in General Nursing in the Institute from 2020 to 21.
Hmm.
Last Thursday, we got an email from the CEO to say that due to admin error, it appears that they had calculated or whatever, the matching software didn't add up, basically. And that they then instructed Dundalk to withdraw her offer. So then we get a letter saying that she's withdrawn from the Dundalk. And,
but where is the CEO saying the mistake was made?
Well, they sent it on the 24th, an email, Joe.
No, but are they saying they made a mistake or the college made a mistake?
Yeah, when you read it, Joe, it says, you know, when a person applies, say they're required to supply certain details, which she would have done and all that, and she checked all the emails. And in the case of the current year Irish Leaving Certificate, the applicant ticks a box. For those who tick the box, CEO run matching software to find their Leaving Certificate examination number in data supplied to CEO by the State Examinations Commission. For some applicants, we do not find a match and we do manual searches. In May, we write to all applicants with instructions to check this and among other information, and there's emails and whatever else. We did not match your correct number and did not receive a response from you when we emailed and instructed you to check this. But they did the standard email on the 15th and the 25th of June, and she had checked her application. We can look in her application now and everything, the details are correct, Joe. But the thing is, if they weren't correct, she would never have been offered a round one offer on the first day.
Okay. And by the way, did she go up for day one for the induction day?
She went up, Joe, because it said on the letter last Tuesday, myself and my husband went up with her. And God love her, like, I think she was nervous because we had all this correspondence. But we were advised by Brian Mooney, as it happens, because my daughter went to Swinehill in Blackrock.
Yeah.
And we had lots of dealings with Brian Mooney in the schooling. It was fantastic.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he said to go up. To go up,
yeah,
that she was registered as a student,
yeah,
and that she is registered for the course, and that as we have paid the fees, that is a contract.
Okay, so what happened?
So she went up, Joe, and we went up and we left her there. It was like leaving her off in junior infants again, nearly, the way I felt. And
you're worried, and she's worried, is she going to be an imposter?
Well, honest to God, Joe, I don't know how she even sat there.
Fair play to her.
That she would be actually hauled out of the room and said that she was not allowed to be there.
So what happened?
But she sat there and she listened, and her name was on two lists, and, you know, they were very nice, and she said it was very informative. And she phoned us afterwards, and we picked her up, and we went back to Dublin.
So is she in or out?
She's in as far as she's got a student ID and she has a password.
Even though the CAO said she was out.
Yes, but hold on, John. She's on her online course this morning since 9 o'clock, and she's on a list there and, you know, engaging with
It's online.
So it's online, of course, Joe.
Yeah.
But so we're really in limbo. Now, we have sent an email to the helpline yesterday, sent an email to Simon Harris. We've heard nothing. And I did check with the principal of Swinehill, and she said that that even Sophie's requirements, the matriculation requirements, as in you need to have certain subjects to do nursing, that she falls into all those categories and that she has all that. So I don't know how they can offer you a place and then say, and she confirmed it and then say that she's not in the system now or whatever. So we just need them to honour the position that we have paid the fees, and she really wants to do nursing, Joe. She's never wanted to do anything else. And this was her sixth choice, Joe. It wasn't her first choice.
But
all the other courses for nursing.
But she has it now. She's there.
She has it now, Joe. She's there, Joe.
So what she has, she holds.
Well, I hope so, Joe, but it doesn't feel very secure from her. I mean, it's been a very, very stressful week because you're in and you're out. You don't know what to think or, you know, I just want them to say, sorry, we're wrong here. We'll honour it. She can do the nursing. That's all I want. And then we can get on with her life. And she can get on with, you know, the career that she wants to be in.
So where are you now with the CAO?
Well, we are in discussions. We have had to get legal advice, Joe, because we're kind of in limbo, Joe. The only way I can say between the CEO and Dundalk College, it's like you're in the middle and they're fighting it among themselves. One's accepting, one's not accepting. I don't know, Joe. To be honest, I don't know. But she's pig in the middle.
CAO say it's a government organisation, it's a quango, whatever they were set up. But they say we are independent of the decision to offer a place is made by the higher education institution in question, not the CAO. But there's a little bit of confusion here, maybe it's just in my old head. And that is that is the CAO the CAO or a higher education institution? Because the chairperson of the CAO is a professor in NUIG. And as I said, when he was being interviewed, I couldn't make out what he was. He was going from being a spokesperson and a very good spokesman for the CAO to being a spokesperson for the colleges and a very good spokesperson for the colleges. And then if you look at the makeup of the CAO, I think they're all, without exception, academics in colleges.
Well, it's interesting, Joe, that email that came in on the 24th had Joseph O'Grady, general manager, on it.
Yeah, well, that's the admin.
So I don't know, he's another person that was...
No, but he's admin. They'd be admin, yeah.
Yeah. So he was the one that sent the email. Yeah, now, every other email that comes to the CEO do not reply to this email.
I'd put it another way. I thought the CAO would have come out with a statement yesterday afternoon saying this is absolutely disgraceful what's happening to students. We are really, really upset as students. We were given this wrong information. We are really upset. Everything should be done to facilitate every single student. And instead, we got what we... And again, it's in the public domain. What we got was the CAO saying, well, you know, people might have to defer and colleges might... That's not their job. That's not their job, as far as I can see.
Well, she has the place, Joe.
I know, and she's holding it.
Oh, well, I'm not letting it go.
No, don't let it go. Let it go.
She wants to be a nurse.
She will be a nurse.
She will.
And by the way, how much of our core, given that we're told, in medicine especially, we can't expand the number of places because of labs and internships, and how much of our course this year do we know so far is going to be online?
Well, a good bit of it, Joe, I think, at the moment. She's supposed to go up next week for vaccination. She got information about buying a uniform. We're going to do all that. We'll see what happens.
Okay, well, best
of luck,
Jordan.
But I really just want them to honour and just let her get on with it.
Okay,
stop putting us through these.
Best of luck to Anne-Marie. She's training to be a nurse. She's studying to be a nurse. It's a tough old course. It's a really tough course.
Yeah, and it's a tough job, Joe.
And it's a tough job. And remember, as we heard during the week, earlier on in the week, when they're in hospitals, as the third and fourth years are now, they're in hospitals doing their placements. They're doing the work of a nurse, often on the COVID front line, but they're not being paid a penny. They were up to the end of August under the pandemic emergency. But anyway, fair play to her. Onwards and upwards, Anne-Marie.
I hope so. And thank you. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
And thanks for making the point to so many people.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at RT.ie. By the way, that was Declan Small, God rest him. He was chairperson of the Ballymun Kickhams, a legend, I'm told, not just in Ballymun, but in North Dublin and beyond. A great, great man. And obviously the family, and then that photograph, which again we tweet with permission of the two boys, his two sons, Paddy and John, doing him proud. And it's been sent in a photograph from the Sinead Campbell, a great GAA person from a great GAA family. You remember her father, Liam Campbell, a wonderful commentator over the years. And she sent in a photograph of Declan in his hospital bed, obviously, with the boys and pride of place. Of course, because it's in Dublin full time now, the Sam Maguire Cup. So God rest Declan. And thanks for that piece of information. Again, a reminder of, one, the family strength in Ireland, and two, the connections with the GAA. Alton O'Sullivan. Alton, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Who are you referring to? Your daughter, is it?
That's right, Joe.
Okay, tell us what happened.
Essentially, Joe, she's been marked down in her Leaving Cert grades. She lost 66 points in total.
Wow.
Yeah. She was marked down with 7 papers and lost 6 grades.
And has she heard any word since yesterday?
No, nothing.
Is she expecting any word?
Possibly, but we're not confident that this is going to give us any any redress, Joe. The differential is too big. Like, essentially, she is in the bottom 100 of the country in terms of the most harshly treated kids.
And how do you explain that to me, Alton, just for people to see?
Some of the TDs would have put through PQs and basically, the numbers have come back. And she is part of a group of 83 kids that lost 6 grades or more.
Out of 60,000?
Out of 57,500.
Wow.
Yeah. And in fairness, I think there's 11 kids that lost 7 grades or more. Now, you tell me a computer model that's accurate, that can allow that number of kids fall through the cracks.
Yeah. So she wanted to do pharmacy. What choice did she get, Alton?
Her 10th choice, Joe.
And what's she going to do?
Well, she's no option, Joe. She's, you know, putting her attention into that at the moment. But we're still hoping at this late day, that essentially something will happen.
Yeah.
The whole thing has been called into disrepute. Like, the calculated grade system is now a farce. Like, the minister now is talking about leaving some kids with extra marks, even though she knows that those marks were awarded in error.
Mm.
So what about the kids that have lost those grades?
Yeah.
Like, the system as it's been rolled out, some kids got awarded extra points.
Hmm.
Some kids got left alone.
Yeah,
and then there was a whole raft of other kids who were randomly selected by lottery, as far as I'm concerned, and were downgraded.
And pharmacy was obviously... Pharmacy is a vocation, I think. It's so much training and work goes into it.
Yeah. Like, most of these kids that want to aspire to some of the higher, achieving courses, they think about these things very, very seriously, and it's not something they take lightly. And certainly, they wouldn't be putting down on their CEO application number 10 choice in terms of what they want to do in their career. You know, they'd be fairly focused people, you know.
And obviously, she studied incredibly hard.
Yeah, Joe's, you know, like most kids, you know, seven days a week. Came home some nights, 10:30 at night.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I watch my own kids do it as well, and your jaw drops, and even in third level as well, it's incredible the dedication they have. Everyone that gets through appreciates what they've got. There's no appeal system, sure there isn't. You can appeal the addition.
We've appealed like everybody
and the
else.
The postal system, but that's nothing.
At the moment, all you're appealing is someone punching the number in into a computer program. And we already know that they haven't even got that right, have they?
Yeah. How is she, by the way, more importantly?
I suppose, listen, you know, over the weeks, it's getting a little easier to handle because she knows she's not alone. At the start, she thought she was the only kid out there, you know?
Who was downgraded in several subjects. And she was marked down as 7 and downgraded in 6. In other words, she went from a H1 to a H2 or whatever.
Exactly,
to a lesser H numbers.
Once you start to lose grades, you're clocking down the list, you know?
Okay, Alton. I can hear the upset in your voice, but also in what you said about her in the last few weeks. I know she has the warm embrace of her parents to keep her on the...
Oh, absolutely.
Keep her together,
We're like any other parents.
Yeah,
But it's very frustrating. Like, okay, you invest so much time and money into your kid's education and then to be treated this way.
Alton, I tell you, it's not over yet looking at our screen in terms of the students themselves and their parents wanting to talk. And I tell you, they will have a platform here on Liveline. Thanks indeed, Alton O'Sullivan. Back tomorrow at 1:45. Today's producer was Lisa Mearberry, and Ray Darcy's next.